All right, welcome back to the Mob Mentality. We're here with Arlo Belshi, and we'll have another visitor join with us in a bit. And then here is Austin Chadwick, and I'm Chris Lucian. And so while we're waiting for our other guest, we wanted to just talk to you a little bit about some of the stuff that we had been passionate about in the past and things along those lines. I remember talking to you at a conference years ago, and we discussed a little bit about lowered bug count down to zero bugs and zero bugs over time. And then I remember you being very passionate about that idea and kind of coining a hashtag around it. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the Zaro Boogs hashtag or Bug Zero.
Bug Zero hashtag.
And so maybe we can get into that. Maybe what were your thoughts around it? What was the, what caused you to maybe want to do that? And what's the, what, around what have you seen the community form around it?
Okay, yeah, let's start. So yeah, I'm on a mission. My goal is that at some point, and probably in the next decade, there is a time where the old programmer takes the person who's been in the company for a year now out for beers and explains to them the tales of the bug, because the young guy has never actually encountered one of these strange beasts.
Yes.
So to get there, we need to shift the way that we think about bugs. We currently think of them as just sort of natural. They happen, and we deal with them. It turns out they're all preventable. And some companies actually prevent them.
All right.
And hello, Marion is here now.
Yeah.
And this is actually something that has happened in the time of that hashtag. So for a long time, I was working on trying to spread belief and information and different ways of doing it, and sort of working on awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting in March, she and I founded Deep Roots together.
Awesome.
And are now directing practical action.
Okay.
So I'm the technical half of Deep Roots, knowing the what, like what behaviors do we need people to do? How do you get, you know, like break those down, use the micro behaviors and make this change and how you do this thing.
Yeah.
And she's the what, she's an instructional designer.
Yeah.
And she knows how to get people to actually change their real behavior.
Nice.
Not just do a workshop and talk about something differently, but really change what they do.
Sounds like an awesome team. So Miriam, maybe you can introduce yourself a little bit and then and talk a little bit about Deep Roots, and then we can get in a little bit more into that conversation.
Okay. My name's Marion, and instructional design is my passion. Only because it helps people be able to learn more effectively. Mm-hmm. Anything that I can do to help that process makes me happy.
Right.
And I've always looked for something that I could help design that would change the world fundamentally.
Right.
And I truly believe that technical skills is something that our world needs to to have functionally working. And yet, you know, through all my adult life, I have been exposed to software companies, and I have seen a lot of problems that happen, and most of it is around miscommunication of how to do something or what to do, or I mean, it's just some misalignment. And so when Arlo had these lovely ways to get on the same page with technical skills and really go forward,
yes,
I was very excited to partner with that.
Awesome.
And to kind of jump into maybe a little more detail on the material. So I've been a fanboy of Arlo for a while. And what really came together to me in this conference was kind of a comprehensive look at the whole system. So before I was like, oh, no bugs, you know, read by refactoring. I've been getting all these little tidbits of things and seven stages of naming and all these great technical practices. And what I really enjoyed at the last session with you and James Shore was there was a slide on the complete breakfast, right? And it was like, the main goal of preventing bugs and shipping often or something like that.
Yep.
What were the three items in the complete breakfast to kind of meet that goal?
So there's a couple ways to break it down. We broke it in that slide, we broke it down by role. So that everyone knows what they need to do. And in truth, like, there's another way to break it down based off what problem that you have. Which is what's gonna be more useful to a company. But for learning it and for getting it, role is handy.
Yeah.
So we in order to succeed with technical debt, you need to change the way that you lead, you need to change the way that you manage, and you need to change the way that you code. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have four leaders, growing responsible ownership, help people shift from leading by setting a direction, which works for many problems, but doesn't work for technical debt, to leading by creating, by unlocking teams' ability to own their own problems of destiny. It's the same stuff as in Turn That Ship Around. Yeah. We're talking about that. Only we have taken those concepts and, with her, talked about how do you actually shift behavior, both of leaders and teams, right? So that's growing responsible ownership. And then the other two that were mentioned there, we've talked about a little, safeguarding is the way that you manage, how do you fund your technical debt efforts? How do you fund your paying off debts, your fixing bugs? And it's a good way to have it to cause each bug that you have to be data and acquire funding to prevent bugs like that in the future. Mm. And so you ratchet your sources of error, you make the code safe to work in, and then mistakes go away. And so that then is led by the direct first level managers, the product owners. And then the last one is executing the actual change, and that's where code by refactoring and its first part read by refactoring sit for developers. How do you actually make a change in this 15 seconds that is safe in a way that will prevent bugs in the future and doesn't take on costs now? And so it's a bunch of those detailed techniques.
Yeah, and I think when you and I started talking about this all those years ago, the team that I was working on at the time had been probably a year and a half into a zero bug reports back from production. So I've seen stuff like this work.
Yeah.
And actually, Austin has had to recently work on those code bases, and they get very little stuff back as well. And so it's a really, it can work. I've seen it work. And so would you say Deep Roots is trying to teach that to people? Is that...
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
Deep Roots, our goal is to teach that and really to focus on the companies that have the most need for it.
Yes.
So the worse the code base and the more the people, the more need there is.
Yeah.
And this is where I know what needs to happen, but I don't know how to teach that other than by working with people the same way that most technical coaches do. And so doing 1,000 people and a bunch of code bases would be very, very challenging.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I have a business partner.
So what would you say would be the aspects that you add to communicating that sort of knowledge, the technical knowledge? How do you get that to 1,000 people from you? What's your strategy?
Basically, scaling the learning.
Okay, fantastic.
And the way that we do that is introduce people to the concept of the basically the awareness that I spoke about yesterday, where you start out with the training that is the awareness, that's like a half-day workshop. And so they're familiar with the language. Awesome, but that doesn't mean change.
Yeah.
So then they need to take it back to their work, and that's where we provide very micro habits that for 2 days they will work only on that specific micro habits, and each team has a data champion and a refactoring champion to be there, to be a source.
Awesome.
And then they are basically self-educating themselves. It's not even education at this point, it's self-practicing.
Okay.
And that
what's an example of one of those micro habits?
The honest things would be an example.
Yeah.
So every time they extract a method, then they name it actually what at least something of whatever is. And so just doing that every time they extract something, they have to do that over and over and over for a day. Then at the end of those 2 days, we come in and say, okay, what were the patterns that you saw? Mm-hmm. What were the challenges that you experienced? What could you do better next time? Mm-hmm. A basic retrospective. And then that starts really, the shared stories are so critical because that's when change actually happens. You can practice internally or individually all you want. But until the shared stories start happening and people start seeing other teams, and then you start seeing recordings of those, like, oh, that other team had some interesting points, or this team had some interesting points, then it gets exciting, engaging, and the change just compounds.
Yeah, I know that we've benefited a lot from Seven Stages of Naming and those micro habits as well. And so, and I've seen direct impact on code bases for that work. So that's really great stuff to be teaching.
Yeah, and maybe a follow-up question on the micro habits, just like real specific, because you guys were going over a slide in the how a non-coder could facilitate read by refactoring, right? And so I get the awareness, like that was step one, and then the workshop was like experience, and then the retro was basically the reflection stage, right? And so shifting the micro habit specifically was something like read by refactoring. Like, what would that look like? So you mentioned a champion. So how do you find a champion, and then that champion, what does he do to help shift people's micro habits? Or, you know, it is in the retro the people, you find people who want to do it? I guess I'm just trying to fill the gap mm-hmm. between those last two, between the reflection and actual practice. Yeah.
So a big part of it is really extreme precision on exactly what we're looking to do.
Okay.
Right. So if I'm just trying to change, okay, the read by refactoring, whatever, people aren't going to succeed. Because mm-hmm. it's too much variability, too many different contexts. Okay. What should I do here? It's nuanced. And we can all handle nuance, but it requires expertise. Mm-hmm. You can't learn in a way that requires you to have the expertise before you start. So well, you can if you've got a technical coach there with the expertise, but we have to assume you don't. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So what we do is we get very, very precise. Instead of teaching you read by refactoring, when we're going to honest names, we say, okay, what you're going to do is anytime that you see either see a name that is dishonest, or you're creating a new name, and you look for that as many times as you can today. Every time that you see one of those, what I want you to do is quickly scan the method or the chunk of code and get one thing that you believe it does, and then name it, probably underscore that one thing, underscore and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then keep track of how many times you do that during the day. Keep a tally sheet. Yep. High score wins, right? Mm-hmm.
Gamify it.
You gamify it. And that is what's going to generate those stories. And now people, but it is simple, it is concrete, you can know exactly what to do. And as you do that, you're going to generate for yourself the stories that starts teaching you the nuance. And that's where that reflection then comes in. You're sharing those stories, you're saying, I did this one and I don't think it was a good idea, or I did this one and oh my God, then the next person came through and they changed and added a couple things and I can see how it grows. And you start to develop for yourself that experience.
Okay. And on the big picture of deploying that whole scenario. The half-day workshop is where you extract your data champion and your refactoring champion. So every team has somebody that they can go to of like, I'm just not getting whatever this particular habit is. Can you help me with that? Mm-hmm. And then the data champion is, let's go team. How many checks do you have during the stand-up or whatever the situation, however they mm-hmm. communicate? Don't forget, we want to be looking at this one specific thing and making a change every time this happens. So they're very on top of that. And then after those particular 2 days around that very tiny habit, that's where we come in with the reflection. And then if they're satisfied with that, then we go to the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one, and that lasts for a series of weeks.
I see. One thing I wanted to give kudos to you guys on was I like how mobbing was, this is the mob mentality show, but I really liked how you're like, oh, you're having all these problems with code reviews and bottlenecks and, you know, the process problems. Well, if you mob, you eliminate, you know, and
mob
it's like,
fixes a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah, so the workshop naturally led to mobbing, and I was just like smiling during the presentation. So
very cool. Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah, and honestly, from our perspective, like, we're trying to help people change behavior, mm-hmm. and the most effective behavior shifting techniques you've got out there, tools are really effective, and norms are very effective, and social norms. And you get a mob together, it is both a tool for communication and it is a social pressure to try the new things that we all agree on. It's fantastic for changing behavior.
Especially if one single thing that you're always trying to shift, just put that right there in the middle of the table during the mob and be like, that's
No, there's four people there ready to remember it
exactly.
and point it out when somebody else is not there.
Exactly.
That's absolutely, I mean, and that happens naturally. But I like this idea of kind of incremental gains on your capabilities and focusing on that one thing. I think we get a lot of that in our work from day to day when we're talking about even just shortcuts, right?
Like
shortcuts in an IDE, and somebody is frustrated that the driver might not be using that shortcut, and they tell them over and over again, right? We see that naturally, and so why not capitalize on that? I think that's a really awesome
Absolutely. Idea. And speaking to the effectiveness of mobs for that, was one of the companies that I was working with this, I worked with a number of teams, and there was one team that mobs all the time. Like they're a full-time mobbing team. All the other teams don't. Mm-hmm. There were two or three other teams that chose to mob an hour every other day, mm-hmm. something like that, and then the rest don't at all. And the teams that don't mob at all made it through the content, they learned a fair amount of stuff, and then they petered out when they got to the limit of what we'd covered in the workshop. Mm-hmm. And so they hadn't seen it before, they just lost at that point.
Yeah.
They couldn't figure it out. The teams that mobbed a little while, they got a little bit beyond that, and then petered out. The team that mobbed all the time They went through all the content that had been defined, and then they went through all the ones that all that I had left was a title. And they were like, let's see if we can figure out from the title what he's talking about. Yeah. Mobs are really effective for change.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and I can relate to that from my experience. I mean, trying to, you know, grow myself and help others grow. Non-mobbing styles of doing that versus the mobbing style, it just is so much more natural and so much more human. I mean, and it's and it just starts with like, oh, I want to try this idea, what do you think of that? Or you know, and it just, and it becomes an experiment as opposed to, you know, trying to persuade someone to try it on their own.
We're social creatures, and we learn through social behaviors. So the fact that people try to do that in isolation is against our brain. Mobbing works with our brains.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so I think that hits our time box, and so I just wanted to close it out here. I wanted to make sure that everybody in the audience checks out the Bug Zero hashtag and checks out Deep Roots. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel, hit the bell, and thank you very much. This has been a great time talking about Bug Zero and Deep Roots and mobbing as part of that. So, bye everyone.
Bye. Thank you.